Three, two, one. Good morning.
Good morning.
On this hot Saturday.
Yeah, it's not that cool outside.
I think it's supposed to be the hottest day ever.
Today, really?
Yeah. Today's the hottest day ever.
What's it supposed to be?
Heat index, I think, of like 110.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I mean, I'm going with the general idea that it's going to be hot every day for a while, but I didn't, you know, that's, if it's going above 95, then I should pay a little extra attention.
Well, when I used to work outside, believe it or not, I didn't always do hair. I actually have a degree in turf management from Rutgers, and I used to work on golf courses.
Right.
And this is the reason why I don't do it anymore, because these, not only a hot day, but they've been predicting not only this hot day, but this whole hot week. So, like, in the golf course business, it's basically grass babysitting. So
you grass babysitting.
Right, because we live in the Mid-Atlantic region. Mid-Atlantic means we want what the North has, and we want what the South has, but it's too hot or cold to have either. So we have to pick or choose, which is usually like a bent grass, which grows great up north because it's cooler. Can't go any farther south because of the heat. So we're right where, you know, it tempts us. So we grow it, and then we basically have to spray it with cool water all through the summer. And it was, you would look at the weather and you're like, okay, this whole next week of my life is going to suck. So I'm losing like weeks of my life in periods.
Babysitting the grass.
Babysitting grass. And, you know, it was.
Which makes me think of Eddie Brown.
Well, that's how me and Brownie know each other. I used to syringe. Actually, I used to actually do all the irrigation at Rehoboth back in 95, I guess. I used to water that whole golf course at night with a pair of pliers and a flashlight.
When you say night, what's night? Is that like in the darkness of night, like at, say, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock?
Are you a no-nighter, too? A flat earther, no night? You know, it's when it's dark.
Well, I don't know. It could mean 6, 7. The sun could still be out. I mean, are you in there at like 3 in the morning?
So I actually used to come in around 9 at night.
Wow.
And the way it would work is I would start on if it was just fairways, I would start at the first head of each fairway, and I used to have to turn it on with a pair of pliers.
Right.
And I would turn on the head, it would shoot up, just major pressure. And the funny thing is that we used to have these pressure gates where, you know, we'd build the pressure up, start turning on heads, and then I would have to run to the gates, start closing the gates to balance the pressure. It was an old, old, old system.
Right.
But I would have to go from fairway to fairway to fairway to fairway to fairway. And then I would have to let it run for an hour. And then I would, the next hour, I would start at the same head, shut that one off, go to the one, turn it on, fairway, fairway. And I would do it throughout the whole night. And I would probably be done around 9, 10 in the morning.
Wow.
So, yeah, and it was by flashlight, golf cart flashlight, and, you know, a pair of needle-nose pliers. If you ever see Eddie, ask him about it. He used to do it.
I will.
I took his job away. Well, he got a better job, and now he ended up with his. But it was
a hand-me-down.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's a tough business, and I did it for a while, but I was definitely grateful to not be doing it anymore. So I guess the point of that was that I don't really pay much attention to the weather anymore.
Gotcha.
I know the salon's nice and air-conditioned.
Right.
I pay for that.
Right, right, right.
And it's great. But, like, today, it is hot, and my daughter, Teresa, wants to do a lemonade stand.
I heard you saying something about that out there.
So we're doing a lemonade stand. She's going to be here about 11, her and her girlfriend, Arden, from school, Robert Elementary, a client of mine's daughter. And all she wants to do is a lemonade stand with Arden.
Is this her first lemonade stand?
I think it is.
I think that's great.
She's such a great, both kids are great, but Teresa, she's so fun. You know, like, Daddy, can we do a lemonade stand? And I'm like, of course. Right. So I'm up at 6 this morning at Walmart buying ice. I go, the key to lemonade stands, Teresa, look at Daddy in the eyes. Ice.
Right.
So we got a lot of ice. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and I did, and I wanted to, I was going to mention this. Well, we got a few things. So do you want to introduce yourself, Brian?
Brian Mann.
Brother Man. Is it right if I call you Brother Man?
Sure.
I like that.
I get all kinds of variations of that. You know, people do the, hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's going on, man?
Man.
I get them all.
That's great.
I love it.
Well, Brian, you're, I consider you a good friend of mine. I don't, you know, I've only known you for a little while, but, you know, we've dealt with some things, you know, trying to learn about, you know, podcasting together. So
right.
I rely on you a lot of times for feedback, which I really appreciate. And, you know, you came to me and like I was an expert or something and you wanted to learn about podcasting and I just shared with you what I knew.
Right.
And off you've gone.
Yeah.
And I think, and I said this to you, I think the first time we ever met, I said, I think people that do podcasts need to support one another.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing one and I'm doing one. And I asked you to come back and let's talk about the podcast. Tell us how you've evolved, the ups and downs. I'm going to tell you some of the new things that I'm trying to do. Maybe you can think about trying them or what your thoughts are on them. But so where are you at today?
So name of the podcast is Neva's Potatoes. And it's a podcast I came up with. So I work for the Big Fish Charitable Foundation.
Yep.
AKA Big Fish, all things Big Fish. And so what I was doing.
AKA Big Fish.
That's right. And so one of the things I wanted to do was create a podcast for myself. It was the first, you know, idea. I mean, I just wanted to create a podcast and just see what would happen. And then I said, oh, my God. I said, I could create one that'll work for the foundation, work for Big Fish. Maybe I can combine the two things. Right. So that's what I came up with and came up with the name Neva's Potatoes. And we've gone back and forth about that name.
You and I
have talked about it.
Well, and I told you the other day, great name.
It's a pretty good name.
I just didn't know it.
Right. No problem. And I'm 7 episodes in.
Nice.
I've taken the last podcast I posted was on the 28th of June. So that's like, what's the math on that?
It's been a while. That's my math.
Right.
It's been a while.
So what happened was I ran into like, I burned out. Like I moved back here on the 1st of January and I was going like crazy, tried putting things together. And then I hit like this, it was probably right in time with when the heat started kicking up. And I was like, boom, I'm tired. I'm going to kind of slow it down, go do some other things. And so I haven't posted since the 28th, but I'm actually have somebody, I've got like 4 lined up this week. So that tells me my engine's back up and running and let's go. And so I would say, like I said, what did I say? I have 7 episodes up and I think it's going well. And one of the ideas is to have an episode a week. So I kind of blew that apart here in the beginning. But I'll start back up again this week and just keep rolling. But I like it. We're averaging about 20 minutes per episode.
Right.
Which is good.
Yeah, because it's different. You know, I don't have, it's not like your style, what we could call, what, long form?
Free flow, long form.
Right, like how poems have different styles or names or even songs. So I think because it's a, let's say, organization-related podcast, as opposed to Brian Mann doing whatever he wants podcast.
Right.
I think... And after hearing some feedback from my higher-ups, that 20 minutes seems to be the natural amount of time. Now, it could be maybe a little less time than that or maybe a little more. But right now, it seems to be about 20 minutes.
That's good. I mean, I think that's a great – especially for, you know, you have a more of a message, you know, like you pointed out. Mine's just kind of chatting. And so it allows us to do an hour or something. But,
right.
You know, you have someone – that has is agenda the right word?
Not necessarily.
Not agenda. We got a point to put out. I guess it's you kind of are working with the people that are associated with Big Fish, right?
Well, yeah, yes and no.
Okay.
Meaning in my mind, I've set it up to create categories of guest.
Okay.
Meaning like I just spoke to a buddy of mine. His name is Vince Maximo. And
Maximus.
You know, he's a friend of mine who happens to have dined, who likes Big Fish restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen him in like 20 years. And I go, now, is he a guest or is he a friend? I go, he's a friend. So long story short, what I'm trying to say is I'm setting up the podcast that I can have anybody come on. Now, there's a category of show that I call Team Big Fish. That's when I have
anybody that works for Big Fish, come on. So I'm doing, like, the general manager of Big Fish Ocean View is, we're doing a recording on Monday. So that's a Big Fish person.
Right.
And then I'll speak to, like, you had Sarah Gilmore on.
Great. So, great lady.
Great, right?
That you suggested.
Right. She's a great, great lady. So she's part of what I'm calling the nonprofit community.
Okay.
Right? So that means, like, anytime I talk to somebody who wants to talk about their nonprofit, they can come on and talk about their nonprofit. And that doesn't mean they can't talk about other stuff. And then there's just different categories. So not necessarily, not everybody necessarily has to have a message. What I would like to try to do is somehow always tie Big Fish into it somehow. So that's one of the hooks,
bridge, the connection.
One of the things I have to use.
Well, and yeah, I think I mentioned that I have an app called Rehoboth Social that
yep.
I'm posting all the podcasts. I don't know if you probably haven't even looked at it, but I've been posting your podcasts on there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I did look at it. I think you sent me the link, and I downloaded it.
Yeah. So it doesn't really matter. It's an app I made. Doesn't compare to like a Facebook or Instagram, but you know, it's a great platform for me to post my podcast because it actually is built in a way with 10 groups, dining, beaches, activities, volunteering, you know, and when I did like a podcast with you, you know, I posted, I think, I forget where you're posted, but you know, maybe even in volunteering. But I'm trying to post the podcast in these groups so that if a person comes on the app and says they go to dining, only in dining you're going to find podcasts that have a relation or that relate to food or restaurants or cooking.
Right.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's tough to try to find because you're really – you got to find – it can be challenging. I know just the podcast that I'm doing, it's challenging to find people to come on.
Really? You seem to be ripping off podcasts left and right. Well, and I know that because I'm listening to them.
Right. And I mean in the beginning because actually now people are reaching out and wanting to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I've also had to adjust my podcast because, you know, if someone comes on and has more of an agenda, they really got a message, you know, I need to try to be better at that. It's not just like, what kind of coffee did you have today? You know, it's got to have a little bit more structure. So I'm having to adjust for people that are like that. And then, like, I don't know if you listened to the one that we did with Pat, or it was Carlos and Pat and me. I don't know if you heard that. Went up yesterday. But
Was it the most recent one?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's the one I listened to this morning. Is that the one where you talked about Ace Frehley having written Eruption?
Yes.
So, yeah, I listened to it this morning.
That was a funny podcast.
It was great.
I was like, you know, and thank you, should we get right into that? Do you have information that I have I passed on false information?
I think you've, let me calm down.
I'm going to have to Google
where
it
did you find that information?
Well, that's not old information. Ace Frehley wrote Eruption. I'm going to Google it.
I'm going to need proof of that.
Are you going to need a Xanax when I drop this 411 on you? Let's see.
I'm betting.
Who wrote Eruption? Let's see what happens.
You're relying on that for your facts?
Well, because I know you're picky. You barely believe the earth is round, so I need to really get some good facts.
There's no barely about it. It's not.
Let's see. Let's see. But go on. So pass me your facts. Tell me what you think.
Well, first of all, I don't think Ace Frehley wrote Eruption.
Mm-hmm.
I think Eddie Van Halen absolutely wrote it.
Okay.
And what my first thing is, where did you get that information?
Right. Okay. So we're going to have to go back to Google. So I know that...
I know Ace Frehley may have been an inspiration for Eddie Van Halen.
Well, I know...
But there is no way Eddie Van Halen did not write Eruption.
Okay. I hear you. I hear your concern. Who wrote Eruption? Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, Eruption itself has its own Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I see that.
Which I went to. As soon as I heard that on the podcast, I went nuts.
Yeah,
on Google to try and find any Ace Frehley eruption information.
Well, I know for a fact that Ace Frehley created the tapping, and that's where Eddie Van Halen got it. It's been spoken about before that Ace Frehley was the one that created a lot of eruption. I don't know if, you know, Eddie Van Halen kind of rounded it all out. I can't find it anywhere on here, but I didn't make it up.
Well, and just also to be
clear. And Brian, I am one of Eddie Van Halen's biggest fans.
Right. That's another thing.
I am a huge Van Halen fan. Right. So, you know, I would only say that just out of total respect for Eddie Van Halen.
Right. Well,
I love Eddie Van Halen.
And more facts that
I was Eddie Van Halen over Randy Rhoads.
Right. Well, I heard that on the podcast too, is that Ace Frehley did not invent the tapping. That tapping technique, I mean, Django Reinhardt used to use that.
Mm. Maybe just in the rock style. Who's Django Reinhardt?
You never heard Django Reinhardt?
No.
Oh, my God. So this is
does he exist?
This is something. No, really? He is passed. But DJ, I think his name is spelled DJANGO. And he is. You want to check him out when you get a chance.
I'm still working on this. Ace. Go ahead, though. I'm listening.
Yeah. Well, he was a, how do I say this? I was going to use some foul language there. The guy can play guitar. And he's beyond old school. He goes way back. But a lot of, I would say, probably our favorite guitar players would list him as a influence.
Let's see. Yeah.
And I can't even name the probably what year, what era or years he was popular. But he was certainly a.
Ace Frehley's girlfriend claims Kiss tried to have Ace killed. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's deep. Well, I don't, you know what, I can't, the only reason I actually said that is because I really thought that was true, and I had heard that. So if I was wrong.
Yeah, we have to clear that up quickly, or else
my credibility is going to go down the toilet.
Well, not your credibility, but you're changing the space-time continuum of rock and roll, and,
I can't find it. And maybe if I was wrong, then I'm wrong. I apologize. That's but right. I don't think that is the. I think that their Ace Frehley was. This was something that I heard when I was just a kid, when I was young, because, you know, I loved Eruption. I mean, Eruption was our national anthem, right?
As
kids. So I was. And then when someone told me that Ace Frehley had actually written it,
It was probably a friend of yours of your age who passed on fake news to you. You adopted that fake news.
I adopted it. Come on, baby.
And then just regurgitated.
I fed it, it grew, and I just regurgitated it
on that last podcast.
All right. Well, look, I love, like I said, I'm a big Van Halen fan.
Right.
I'm my mom stood in line for tickets to Van Halen for the 1984 tour. That's how much I love them, because she knew how much I loved them, so she did that for me.
That's
jump.
That's beautiful.
It was beautiful, man.
Yeah, and the truth is, I'm not. I mean, I like Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not. This is me bringing this up. I'm not, you know, I'm not like I got to defend Eddie Van Halen and his songwriting.
Well,
I was like, come on, man, Eddie wrote that.
You know, listen, I mean, I may even talked about this earlier in the other podcast. You know, and when I was a kid, you know, you're like, oh my God. I mean, I remember just the power of Van Halen. But now when I look back, I look back at their music. You know, Eddie Van Halen was a little gimmicky, you know, with the tapping and stuff.
Really?
I think so. I mean, listen, I mean, everybody can probably play Eruption, but were you a Randy Rhoads fan? You like Ozzy?
I did, but again, not a huge fan.
Eddie Van Halen camp.
I heard Crazy Train just yesterday, you know, and I cranked it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't a huge fan. I wouldn't go with either camp. I'd pick both.
I pick both too. I'm definitely not criticizing either one, but I look back and I just, you know, the Randy Rhoads just had some great skills. It's just a personal choice. We went and saw Van Halen with David Lee Roth when they did that new tour with the first time with David Lee Roth when they came back. We went up and saw him in Philly. David Lee Roth was amazing.
Really? How long ago was this?
12 years ago.
Did you catch him when he was on Joe Rogan?
I did. He's insane.
I love it.
He's insane.
Yeah, it was great.
But he makes sense.
Oh, yeah. He was, that was one of the best ones I've ever seen.
And, you know, I don't think he does drugs. I don't think he uses alcohol. I mean, he's, you know, very into health and nutrition and
Martial arts.
So I can't, but if you would listen to that podcast, you'd think he was high on something. He was right out of his mind.
I think that's his natural state.
He's just, Diamond Dave.
Yeah, and he's just a wild, expressive, could we use that word, expressive guy. And I know people like that that are naturally just like wild. They're naturally wild.
And full of information.
Yeah.
He is full of information. Yeah. He would be a great guest.
He would be a great guest, exactly.
But he was a little kooky, you know. I could tell, like, even Joe Rogan's like, oh, my God, this guy's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Because you could say Joe Rogan's a little kooky, and a lot of the guests that come on there are a little kooky. And I mean that in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have a David Lee Roth. And so let's say Joe Rogan is a scale from 1 to 10, David Lee Roth being a 10, like, you're not going to get much wilder than that.
Did you see the Steven Tyler one?
I did.
It wasn't wild, but he's a little kooky, too.
Yeah. But even that's a different class. Like, David Lee Roth, in my mind, is like, that's way up there.
Well, and one of the biggest problems with, like, the Randy Rhoads, Eddie Van Halen, not battle, but just, you know, comparison, is that, you know, Randy died after two albums.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what he would have been like. You know what, I Eddie Van Halen, I love the tapping. That's what I felt. That's what sold me on Eddie Van Halen, Eruption. You know, I love the tapping. But Randy used to make some great sounds out of guitars, you know, that weren't, you know, a standard pick, hold a note, and there's a sound. The moaning, the guitar, he used to moan that thing, and it was just... But I loved, honestly, any guitarist that was with Ozzy. I loved Jakey Lee.
I'm not familiar with him.
He was the guy that took Brad... what was the guy that was in Night Ranger? Brad... Anyway, he took over when Randy died.
Night Ranger, that was a nice...
I'm
going to go listen to some of that today.
You
that
just brought back some memories?
Yeah.
Night Ranger was great.
Oh, yeah.
How old are you?
I just turned 50.
Okay, so I'm going to be 51. We grew up in a great time.
I think so.
Of music.
I agree. I liked Van Halen, but I was more of like a new wave guy. I went the way of... now, number one, my favorite band of all time is Pink Floyd. So... they're always my home base band, I'll say.
Several species of furry animals gathered together in a cave and grooving to a pick.
That's pretty good.
That's a good song.
That's pretty good that you would know that.
Oh, my, dude, I bleed Pink Floyd.
So, but I went the way of, Tears for Fears, Echo and the Bunnymen, Modern English, Thompson Twins. You won't find a bigger Thompson Twins fan.
Nice.
And so I used to be ashamed to say that, but... You know, being 50, I'm coming out of the closet. I think I may have said the same exact thing on one of the other podcasts, but I'm a huge Thompson Twins fan. Like I said, Tears for Fears, Echo and the Bunnymen, Modern English, like, and I'll be on Spotify for hours at a time just going through 80s stuff. And then what I do is, you know, that's why I love Spotify. Is that you start listening to something and starts bringing other stuff up. Mm-hmm. And I'll go, oh, I remember that. Like, there was a band, Propaganda, that I had forgotten all about. So you start listening to that again. And The Cure. And
Brad Gillis was the guitarist, sorry.
Ah.
It just came to me.
Just jogged your memory there. Yeah, so I was an 80s guy. So I wasn't so much on the heavy end. But I did. There was a small period. Like, I remember going through a period of Iron Maiden.
Oh,
where, I mean, I'm, yeah. I don't know if you were here or if you ever heard of it. There was a station called 96 Rock.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was, you know, when I discovered that you could call into a radio station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills.
It's funny. I came and visited Rehoboth. I lived in, you know, I grew up in Albuquerque.
Right.
So. Albuquerque was the main hub for all big bands to come through. I mean, you know, an Iron Maiden, AC/DC, Judas Priest. Right. So they all came through. And Iron Maiden, we came to visit. I was 15, so 35, 36 years ago, we came to visit Rehoboth. And that summer, the big hit was it wasn't Run to the Hills. It was Where Eagles Dare.
I don't even know if I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, that was the big hit of the year, of the same year that Back to the Future came out. Because I remember we saw Back to the Future in Ocean City, and I kept hearing Where Eagles Dare on the radio.
I'll have to go listen to that, too.
We could do a whole podcast on Iron Maiden. Yeah. I'm a huge Iron Maiden fan. But I liked that. It was a great time because that's when MTV came out.
Yeah.
And I was
telling, I remember that like it was yesterday.
I was telling someone the other day, I remember you couldn't really figure out what a band looked like up until MTV came out. I mean, they might be on. I remember saying, I don't even know what the Eagles look like. Remember the Hotel California had that little picture on the back? I don't know if you remember that, but it's like small little picture of the band.
I don't remember.
You'd be like, what does this band look like? You know, right. And then all of a sudden MTV came out and all these bands started coming out. And you're like, wow, yeah. That's what bands look like. It was a great time to showcase your band.
Yeah. And that reminds me, I was also a huge Billy Squire fan.
Oh, yeah.
Till that
Stroke Mashed.
Until that video came out, he came out with some video. Some producer or director said, hey, we think it'd be Rock Me Tonight. And it was not a good video.
Remember Aldo Nova?
Oh, yeah.
There was some.
Maybe
he wrote Eruption.
Yeah. Aldo Nova, Greg Kinn.
Oh, yeah. What band was free? Was he from. I don't even remember. Was he from a band or was Greg Kinn?
He was a solo. Okay, the Greg Kinn band or Greg Kinn. Was it Conspiracy?
Maybe.
I think it was something, but Greg Kinn.
That's pulling some old memories out. Yeah, those things are. They don't come out easy. They're deep in there.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I've said this, I told somebody else, I go, you know, I don't feel like my kids are as committed to music as we were. It was a better, we were more committed. We had to play the record. We had to put it on the record and had to play through. We couldn't fast forward to the songs we liked and skip to all the other ones we didn't like. We couldn't buy a single song. But, you know, now my 14, we went to Firefly and they stood on the rail.
I listened to the podcast you did with him. That was great.
Yeah, he stood on the rail for like 6 or 7 hours just to see Panic. And him and I share pictures. You know, we share a phone account. Mm-hmm. And all of his pictures were, he really likes rock photographers. So all the photographers that were at Firefly that were there to take pictures of the bands, they kept getting selfies with the rock photographers, and they'd get the rock photographers to take their picture. I was like, that's pretty freaking dedicated.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess the point is, you know, it's always changing. You know, yeah, we had our time. This is theirs.
Yeah, I think because we were, I think it, I could be wrong, but this idea popped into my mind that like, if you start with Elvis or the Beatles, that we came up in a time where it was still young music, like that, let's say popular music, and that we were still probably, maybe it peaked at some point, but I think music was still young back then, and we were, and I think maybe, I don't know, I think music may be at an odd place now because it's so readily available. It's so, out, but it's like, it's all over
like
the
me.
Place. Yeah, but I go, I could be wrong. You know, but then I use the same example that like, think about if you were a kid when the Beatles came out, like my mom or my
son. I have a client who got to see the Beatles. She was a huge Beatles fan.
Right. So you go from one kind of music to this whole other thing. And that, you know, it's a huge, like, I can imagine, like, you're just like, what is this? I mean, even though it's not new, it seems like something absolutely brand new, never heard before. Maybe even the same thing with Elvis.
Well, I think it's just the time, you know, the times change.
The electric guitar.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a little jealous of what they have today. You know, my son, he follows all his bands on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a big fan of 21 Pilots. He's you know, knows all the bandmates. They're all on Twitter. They're all, you know, he gets to, you know, that's a lot more interaction with the band. Like, I would have loved to have followed Eddie Van Halen when I was 16, you know, on Twitter. Right. That would have been cool. What's Eddie doing? Oh, my God. Right. You know, I've kind of lost that interest. I have other things to do now, but yep. he gets to do that. They, you know, where they're touring, it's just all this great stuff. And we didn't get that. So
right.
it's always evolving.
Yep.
I think at some point I just don't take any more resumes for new music. You know, I yeah, still live
same
in,
here.
But I will say that like going to Firefly, do you ever go?
No.
You got to go. Let's, why don't we try to go? What's the matter? Why the face? It's really there. I promise you. They really have Firefly.
Oh, I know. I read all about it. I'm just not I have zero desire to go. And nothing against that. It's just I'm not into crowds. I'm not into large events like that.
Hey, who but is? Hey, but it's if we're going to go see some music, you know, sometimes we have to.
Or do they stream it?
Where's your dedication, brother?
Other places.
Oh, okay. I will say we had an amazing time. Other things. Not only did we see the bands.
Yeah, you have kids. That makes sense. You get geared up for that. And
but I was doing it without the kids, you know, because I don't want to fall into that, you know, well, too big, the crowds. Buy VIP. Yeah. You know, that's why we buy the VIP. There's, right. I mean, there's lounge chairs. I'm sitting in this lounge. In fact, I felt a little bit bad. I'm relaxing in a lounge chair while this kid is like right next to me on the rail of the general people, the general population over there.
The general people.
General population. Pressed against the fence, throwing up over the deal, and I'm like, lemonade? You know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
the old part, the old people's area. So,
well, so here's the thing. It's like, whatever you want to call me, I used to do that all the time. I went to any concert I could and mm-hmm. went full blast, and it's just like, it's not my thing anymore.
Okay.
I used to play basketball every day. Yeah. So I think I don't want to say I outgrew it, but yeah, I'm good with Spotify. And then if I want to see a video, just pop on over to YouTube. You know what I mean? Yeah. I did go see a show a couple years ago. A guy named Olafur Arnalds.
You go to one concert and it's a guy nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah. Well, because there
was definitely not a big crowd.
It was, I was watching something on HBO, a series or Showtime, and I heard some music at the end of the show, like during the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really liked it. Like, I mean, it moved me to the point, like, wow, I really like this. And I had no idea what it was, so I had to hunt it down. And it turned out to be some guy, he's from like Norway or somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I figured out his name. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. So I went, okay, that's his name. Typed it in. He was going to be playing that weekend in Philadelphia. So wow. I said, I'm going. And he played at some small, small church. That wasn't a church anymore. It used to be a church. They hold all kinds of different events. So I went, and that's the last thing I went to. And before that, who knows what it was.
That was it.
Yeah.
Well, I do understand, and I'm not gonna press you anymore on that.
But I appreciate the invite and the push.
We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. Every time I mention Firefly to someone that doesn't go, I get the same answer. I'm not into big crowds. I'm not into big events, and it's not as big, and the crowd isn't as big, and the event isn't as big.
Yeah,
it's big, and there's a big crowd, but it's not. It's yeah. it's really it's quite pleasant.
Well, I don't think it's really like Woodstock or Coachella.
No, they run the...
But it's big enough.
The only complaint I have is it's a little bit pricey.
What's pricey?
Everything. The tickets.
But
the tickets, I think, are worth it. But and we... Someone... I read an article said that food sales were down. But, you know, a slice of pizza is $8.
No.
So I can understand. But
yeah.
It doesn't matter. I get it. We'll definitely be...
It was a good time. You recommend the experience, and you probably will be going back again.
Well, and there's a band, The Record Company, you should check out. The Record Company and The Naked Party.
Them I've heard of.
They're good. They reminded me. They had that reverby old tube amp sound like the early Rolling Stones. And I think they may be even from Europe or England or wherever. So they were awesome. I mean, we were sitting on the far side of Firefly area, and they were playing on the Pandora stage, and I'm like, what's going on over there? Let's go. They sound really good. So we ended up working our way over there, and they were awesome. Young guys. I've downloaded them. And then The Record Company, which was another band. And
I've never heard of them.
They're great. So maybe I'll send you a link or something,
all right.
Just a reminder to check them out. But I do get it. Music, you know, we have like a music overload.
Yeah. And I think it's, and obviously it's not for all people, but I just go, here's where I'm at with it. And I go, man, I got a good collection of stuff I came up with. Now, if I run into new stuff and I like it, like, I mean, for instance, I don't know, I can't remember the band. But
do you do any karaoke?
No.
Come on now.
Absolutely not. Absolutely, positively not. But the show Portlandia, did you ever see that? That theme?
I tried.
You don't think that show's funny?
No, I don't.
So see, like I go, that's one of the funniest things for me I've ever seen in my life. And that theme music, I love it. So I hear that and I go, okay, what's the name of that band? I'll go check them out. Now the name of that song is All Washed Out, or is that the name of the band?
I was watching it, and I think they're in the episode I was watching, it may have even been the first episode, they were bringing out like a bio on the chicken they were getting ready.
Yeah. That was episode number
where
one.
Where it was raised, the name of the chicken.
And they went out to the field with a cult.
Yeah. And I'm afraid some of this is going to like get in my brain.
Yeah.
Portland is an interesting place. There's a lot of interesting news going on in Portland already right now about the riots, the left, the right, all these different political places. And the craziness and the police allowing these riots, and it's just seems sketchy. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like a place I'd want to live. It's supposed to be, I thought, a great city, but it sounds it's getting a little Wild West.
Yeah, who knows?
Not funny like the Portlandia show, though.
Yeah, man.
Have you watched all of them?
Oh yeah, all of them, multiple times. I don't know how many seasons there are, but there's a lot. There's more than five. Hmm. I mean, I think again, Greg. It's a comedian thing. I love comedians and comedy. So, Fred Armisen?
Yeah,
is his name.
His glasses.
I think he's just insanely funny.
I'll have to give it another check out.
Yeah, it's I just like it. It's funny. I'll check any kind of comedy out at least once.
So, do you? Let's. I don't, you know, we do this, or I do this sometimes. We rail off into a whole other topic. So,
yep, I'm a fan of the tangent.
Yeah, the tangent. But what do you? How's your podcasting? Besides your guest, and you know all the stuff you're going through. Mm-hmm. You know, how was the process getting it started? And is it fun? And was it everything you thought it was going to be? And what do you think the biggest challenges are in podcasting?
Well, my number one, let's say, if I was to make a list of all kinds of different categories, I love it. Mm-hmm. That would be number one. I love doing it. I loved trying to figure out about contacting somebody to figure out what equipment do I need and what am I going to talk about? You know, the whole startup process, mm-hmm. I loved. And the challenging thing is finding the guest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I have any challenge talking or creating the because I think that's the easiest part.
Right.
Is the conversations. I mean, we just did it. We just talked for I don't know how long that was. But I think the conversation part is very easy. Now, it is tricky for me sometimes trying to figure out I do a thing in my mind where I go, how should I sound? Because this isn't my own podcast. I'm doing this, you know, I have to make sure this is related to a business.
Representing. That's right.
And maybe even because I'm doing nonprofit work, because I don't want anything I say to keep somebody from coming. Like, perfect example is in the first episode I did. The first show we did, I did it with my buddy and coworker Mike Muzzin. And there was a little bit on there that was a little touchy that I kept in because I just said, it's new. I said, you know, I wasn't sure, but I wasn't moved in a way to be like, I got to cut that out. So I said, I'm just going to let it ride for a bit. But then I had I heard people, some little bit of news came in trickling in about it.
Uh-oh.
Right? And I was like, so I was first like, oh, okay, I'll take that into consideration. But then a friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine, said something about it. So when she told me.
I listened to it. I don't remember anything that.
It was about, I don't even want to repeat
the
it.
The nipple?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Right.
You guys need to lighten up there. I mean, seriously.
Well, so.
I'd get fired.
A particular friend of mine, because she said it, because of how I see her and I'm friends with her, she brought it up and I said, okay, now that's enough. I've heard about it a couple times. This person now said it. It's got to go. And the truth is, you know, there's some, what if, and I thought about it and thought about it, and I said, the truth is, like, there'll be organizations I speak to, or representatives from different organizations, say it's something having to do with children, where it can be a heavy topic.
Sure.
And that I could easily see if I represented an organization that worked with kids, like, say, abused kids.
Don't say nipple then.
So, right, so I cut it out.
But you and Mike were having fun.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Well, true. And so, but the idea is I can have that fun, and Mike, we can do our thing when he's on, but I don't want something like that to be the reason an organization like that doesn't come on to the podcast, because maybe they don't hear it. And we were just talking about this earlier, I think. You know, they hear news. They hear that, oh, they talk about this, that on that podcast, meaning that. But and that's the news that hits somebody's ears, and then they go, "Well, we can't do that. It's not appropriate for us to do." And so, long story short, I cut it out the first episode, and so that's a very specific challenge that I ran into, and it killed me to pull it out. Because I know that was Mike took a chance with that bit of comedy, and I respected it. But I go, I had to cut it out. And I remember texting him and letting him know that I cut it out. And it literally, I think I may have even gotten sick, physically ill from it.
Well, I remember I came down to your house and did a podcast, and you cut that too because our microphones weren't right.
Well, my microphone was right. You didn't want to get close enough to the mic so that your audio didn't sound low.
I think anybody in my life is, I'm only in people's lives so that they can blame me.
Well, here's the issue with that. I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming the fact that you did not want to get close enough to the mic so that your audio.
Another blame.
Didn't sound too low compared to mine.
Well, and that's fine. I'll take the blame. But, you know, that's why we wear headphones. And you said, we're not getting headphones. You're not going to do it that way. And that's great. That's fine. But it's hard, you know, and whenever anybody comes on the podcast, I'd say we wear the headphones so that we can hear ourselves.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying. You know, when people come on my podcast, we have to kind of have an agreement about how close we're going to be, because I'll have people that talk back here.
Yep.
And if I'm all the way up here, there is a challenge. So I get that. But that's, you know, if I had had headphones, I might have been able to hear. But I don't seem to have any problem talking into the microphone.
Right.
We just didn't have any, we couldn't monitor it.
Well, I can tell you this.
Tell me.
I don't mind getting into this with you.
Sure.
Is that not all podcasts use headphones. So maybe that's a something you prefer. But at the moment, I don't use them.
Okay.
So I'd love to have you on the podcast.
No, I'm not coming back.
Well, and that's fine, too.
Until you get some headphones.
Right. So,
well, I mean, because I spend a lot of time, you know, sharing stuff on the podcast. So, you know, it would have been nice if I'd have known that I couldn't hear it and it wasn't going to sound good and it got cut.
Well, I hear you, and I'm sorry.
Because you have my headphones on.
Well, and I don't need them, to be honest.
That's right. It's fine. Anyway, I'll come back on your podcast. I wanted to do your podcast, and it was a little disappointing that it got cut, but whatever. You're a little more of a perfectionist than I am. I do a podcast. It is what it is. I did one with Shay. I could barely hear. I put it out there.
Right.
You know, it's just, luckily I have a little more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I made my own podcast. Luckily I don't have it to do. I'm not doing it with anybody. I mean, Carlos and reminds me, shit, he's going to be pissed. I got to read my sponsor. Hold on. All right. Today's podcast is brought to you by Urban Float, the premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. Guests float in a sensory managed environment and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts, which provide profound health benefits for those who are seeking pain relief, stress management, stretch management, recovery, or simply want to disconnect from an overconnected world, call 302-232-3141 to schedule your first or use first time at checkout when you visit UrbanFloat.com. UrbanFloat is located where?
I don't know.
Next to Rosenfeld's.
And where's... Okay, that's out on the highway.
Yep.
I'm trying to think what's across the street from it.
Walmart.
Okay, in that region.
Yeah. You're stuck down in Rehoboth. You don't get out much down there.
I don't.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is, you know, luckily I have freedom. I mean, I get it. And I'm slightly kidding when I bring up that topic because I'm not dropping any information that's going to change the world. But, you know, I hope we can do another podcast because I want to be on it. You know, I want to come on your podcast.
Well, yeah. And that's no problem because I'm actually looking at you right now and you're about a fist distance away from your mic.
Right. But I can tell when I'm too close and I can hear you and I can tell, like, you know, maybe you're good at it, but there'll be people that are come on and we'll be talking and I'll go like this. I'll say, you know, I'll make the motion, you know, a little closer, you know, because I can tell.
Right.
That's why. I don't particularly care for headphones. I don't really want them on my head.
Right.
They're a little annoying. They're smashing down my awesome hair right now. So
right.
I get it.
So yeah, I will. I'm formally inviting you to come on to the podcast. But if it's going to be difficult for you, we'll take extra time, get you set up. I'll get you some pillows. I'll get you.
Do I have to touch my lips to the microphone?
No, you do not. I'll get you some seltzer. I'll get you some coffee, whatever you need.
I don't need anything. I know she didn't bring me any peanuts this time. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, I thought about that and I go, yeah.
But you know what? I got something for you.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Is it one of those hats?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's terrible. I like that. Oh, that's a Project Kudos hat. The blue one.
Want a blue one?
Yeah.
Want a Project Kudos hat?
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Those hats are sweet. Look at the back of it.
Putting local into social.
That's right.
That's great.
So, you know, I thought we could chat a little bit about some of the things I'm trying to do to promote my podcast.
Yes.
And one of the things I've decided I'm going to start doing is I'm doing Facebook Live.
I saw that you did one yesterday or the day before.
I've done three. I'm going to do it every day.
And you brought me because I heard my name on it.
Yep. And, you know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I do post your podcast on my Rehoboth social site. So you can ever, if you ever want to post your podcast on there, feel free. I've been trying to do it just to spread the love.
I appreciate it.
But the Facebook Live, you know, I was watching, you've heard this, but I saw this girl doing this girl coming up through NASCAR who's huge on Facebook Live.
Right.
And then she's silly and it's goofy and, you know, she's not her favorite thing, but she's consistent and her fans really love it.
Right.
So what I'm going to start doing is because it's hard to just type like what's going on. Oh, we're going to have this on and this on. So I'm starting to try to do this consistent Facebook Live every day about what's going on, some of the exciting things, some topics, you know, in the one I did yesterday, I did it while I was riding my bike on the trail and the video was kind of crappy. I don't care. The point was, is that, you know, I said, look, this is a great trail. We love the trails. If anybody would like to come on the podcast and talk about their relationship with these trails and whether they've changed their life for the better, I would imagine for the better, not for the worse, But, you know, so it's a great way to put out ideas to have people come on to the podcast. Have you thought about it? Would you try it?
The Facebook Live?
Yeah. Do you have a Nevis Potatoes page on Facebook?
No, it's I post all the podcast information on the Big Fish Charitable Foundation's Facebook page.
So they have a live option on there.
Sure.
So that might be an idea, or is that too out of your comfort zone?
I would say no. I'm looking at my interest level for it right now. It's not showing up on the radar, but I did see what you did, and I said, that's a pretty good idea.
I think it's something that, you know, and this is age, you know, we're not young, you know,
no.
It's weird to us, but our kids are digging it. And
right.
Sometimes you just have to, and this is because I thought the same thing. Oh my God, live! I'm, you know, I first of all, I look in the damn thing and I look old, which is,
you look good, man. You look pretty darn good.
Thank you, brother. But yeah, in the, you know, FaceTime never does our face any justice. You know what I'm saying? It's like, ooh. So
I'm not familiar with FaceTime, but I hear what you're saying. Exactly.
You know, it's just never great to look at ourselves in a in a video. So, but I'm doing it and just trying to put the information out there. Just trying to be kind of relevant, trying to be current. And now I actually started doing it for the salon because the salon is, I'm looking for a couple people to come work here. I did a Facebook Live video. Someone reached out to me.
Oh.
So I think it might be.
But it naturally seems like it's right up your alley. I mean, and I didn't think, I had no idea this was going to happen. Like when you're talking about the drones, mm-hmm. like I could have cared less about drones.
Right.
But because I'm listening to the podcast, hearing you talk about drones.
Yeah.
You know, with the drones, the podcasting, you're always putting up pictures. All this seems to be, you seem like a natural to be doing all of that. So I don't know how you would be perceiving yourself as I mean, you seem like you're right on it. More so than people, let's say, half your age.
Well.
So you seem right on top of all of it.
I like technology. I like stuff.
Exactly.
You know, I like toys. I like goofing around.
Right, right, right.
You know, I love TV. I love sitting on the couch with my wife. We love a good set. But I like to be out and trying stuff. And
right.
And so I did a vlog for a long time with drones and time lapse and talking into the camera because I was inspired by Casey Neistat up in New York. Yep. I really love that guy, and he just actually moved out of New York, but I loved what he did, and he brought me a lot of. I'd be like, "Oh, Casey uploaded a video, let's go watch it." You know, I really dug that.
Right.
So I kind of got into it then, but my biggest problem is I'm sick of typing. You know, I kind of look at how I react to a feed on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of scrolling through it. But then if a live video comes on, I got stuck into this live video. It was a couple months ago, but this lady was opening up oysters. Have you seen that? She opens up the oysters.
No, but I can immediately, just thinking about it, I could sit there and get caught up in that.
So there's this thing. You buy these oysters, you open them,
mm-hmm.
and then you get a pearl inside. And then the pearl, it's, you know, it's a whole marketing thing. But you take the pearl, and then they offer the different ways of holding the pearl on necklaces and rings and stuff. But she opens these. She's like, "All right, Betty." And she's got this whole, it's like a 1 to 10, and 1 through 10, and each one has an oyster in it. She's like, "All right, Betty." And she's working on Facebook Live. She's like,
"Betty."
What? I just guessed. I know. You know, Mary Lou, Betty, whatever.
It was a great name to use.
But she goes, "What number do you want, Betty?" Number three. Okay, I'm opening number three. And she's interacting with this. It's great. I'm like, how silly, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't turn it off.
Right. It sounds great.
Yeah, so, but the idea, you know, and the cool thing is like with Big Fish Charitable Foundation, they have their own live page. You know, my salon has a live page. The podcast has its live page. And then my personal Facebook has a live page. So I'm like, I did a post on my personal Facebook about, you know, my daughter doing the lemonade stand this morning. I'm like, "Hey, we're going to be doing a lemonade stand this morning." So you have all these different avenues.
Yeah.
It's just at our age, they're a little intimidating.
Again, I wouldn't even, because I still think I'm 17 mentally. Like if I got into it, I think I would just go. And I think, again, like when I listen to you on your podcast, and again, you just told me, you're into it. I don't know why anybody like you would be intimidated, because you have the skill.
I don't want to be. I don't want to be criticized.
So
I'm always. Don't we all have fear of being like criticized?
No.
I mean, Carlos wants to start this mailbag. I'm like, "Hey, we'll take feedback, good and bad." I guess
he wants to start what?
A mailbag. You know, people to send in emails and give us feedback and stuff. And I'm like,
You don't. It's the criticized part. I go, if my interest is high enough, I could care less what anybody has to say. Now, I'm not saying like if somebody says something, I won't go, you know what? You're right. I'll take it as a, you know, it's just an idea somebody came in with, and I'll adopt it.
Right.
But it's hard to believe that you would be in that way, given the level of skill that you have with all this stuff. I mean, you seem like a Jedi master with all these different technologies, and I would be like, what I'd be doing is training myself not to give a damn and just let the videos rip. I mean, you got the pictures, you got this. You're on a bike on some trail with the, what are you using, a selfie stick for that
my
thing?
My hand. I was just holding my
oh,
hand.
Really?
Yeah.
So
the tour to Rehoboth.
Yeah, so you seem like you're completely physically and mentally geared to do all this cool stuff. And, I'd say let it rip, just like the podcast talks we have.
Thank you, brother, because I'm going to let it rip. I feel like if let I'm going to...
Let it rip.
I'm going to... If someone... And I'd like to kind of get you to let it rip a little, too, because I think it's this Neva's Potatoes. It's a great podcast. I think it's
Thank
a great platform.
Much.
I think that at some point... I guess my thought is I almost have to. If I don't, somebody else is going to. Mm. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I go, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't start seeing podcasts start popping up around.
Oh, I think the same thing.
And it's going to be someone that's going to promote it a little better. And you know, my thought, cooperation over competition. I always say, if anybody wants to start a podcast and they need any help that I can help them with or give them some advice, I'm free. What do you need? I'll tell you exactly right. What I did and how I do it. And I'd rather cooperate than compete. I think it's a big enough thing that we can all do it. But I think that we're going to start seeing some podcasts pop up around here.
Yeah,
so,
and there are going to be people that, just like anything else, there'll be people who think that way, the way you think. And then I'm sure there'll be people who want to compete. And
knock yourselves out.
I don't care. I, in my mind, the more podcasts, the better. And I'm just going to work on listening to them and creating them and just
well, I just saw
doing
I read
that.
I read an article this morning that Joe Biden's going to campaign in Rehoboth.
Mm.
I'm like, well, maybe think we can get him on the podcast?
I don't see why not. If this is the only, you know, there's two podcasts in town. And I know this, just again, like the, you know, I would have no fear of rejection or the
I'd
worst.
I'd be afraid of saying yes.
Really?
Yeah, I'd be, oh, shit.
No.
Oh, shoot, sorry.
Is that the worst thing they could say is no. You know what I mean? So it couldn't hurt anybody to be like, hey, Betty, whoever is in charge of his schedule.
Yeah.
Is, hi, my name's Brian Mann. I do a podcast called Neva's Potatoes. It's this, that, the other. I'd like to know if Joe might be interested in, excuse me, Mr. Biden, or what would be his title?
I better figure that out. I had that question on my way to work. I was like, what do you call him? Mr. Vice President, Mr. Ex-Vice President, Mr.
Right.
Biden?
Right. I don't know. And we figure that out. We figure out what his proper title is, and then we ask. And then if he goes, well,
what would be
okay.
a question you would ask Joe Biden?
That's a good question.
Well, and that's my other thing is if I asked and they said yes, you know, would that be only for them to promote Joe Biden, or would it be to really ask some serious questions?
Hey, man, ask him what does he eat pizza and what's he like putting on his pizza? That'd be something I'd ask him.
Well, you remember when
and actually that's an idea I got from Mike Muzzin asked me.
Well, you remember when remember when Joe Rogan had Jack Dempsey on from Twitter?
Yes.
And he had him
now,
on.
Now, you know what? I didn't watch it, but I heard him. I saw it on Twitter, and I'm like, I don't know why. I didn't even want to.
So he had him on, and then he was like, you know, what kind of pizza? You know, it was real low-key, just to chill. You know, what's it like, bro, on Twitter? And then afterwards, he got a lot of flack because
That's what I heard.
Yeah, a lot of people were upset that he didn't really ask any hard-hitting questions. And I was like, I didn't really care because I had never been affected either way by social media. I just recently was. Anybody that comes on the podcast, I boost their post. I take money out of my pocket and I pay for a boost so that it reaches, you know, a bigger amount. $10, $20. I mean, I know that's not a lot, but, you know, you do 50 podcasts and that starts to add up.
Oh, it adds up.
And I was just notified by Facebook. It said all of a sudden boost unavailable. And I'm like, what? And I thought, well, did I forget to pay my credit card or something? So I'm researching and working, trying to figure out what the deal is. And they reached out to me and says, we don't allow boosts on posts that are a threat to our community. And I'm like, a threat to what?
Which post was this, I wonder?
I think just the podcast in general. And I'm like, really? It was weird. And I went back and forth with them a few more times, and then they said, consider this our decision final. So I said, fine, I'll keep my money.
So you never got, they didn't let you know what it was about your podcast or some particular show that was considered harmful to the community?
I don't even know what show would have been. I think it could either be two things. The fact that it's a podcast, meaning unless they listen to each podcast and review it, maybe they're not sure what our topic or what our point of the podcast is. The other thing was that...
could somebody have flagged it? Somebody listens? Yeah, somebody maybe not even necessarily an enemy of sorts, but somebody who just came across it and was like...
they didn't like it.
And they could have... because I know if I get an ad on my personal page, say it's for some kind of product or something that it's just like, I don't know. I'll go and say, don't show me this. And why? Because
it's irrelevant.
They don't give me that thing because I don't want to see it.
It says it's irrelevant. There's already purchased.
Yeah.
I've been blocking ads. I'm pissed now. So I've been blocking ads. But I think it's also, I've never seen an ad for a podcast. So I think that it's just maybe too much content to have to review. Like, if this podcast was about hate or, something else, drug use or whatever, whatever it is that would upset somebody, they would have to review it and then pick and choose. So maybe there's just a broad brush stroke that they're not going to promote podcasting. They did it for a while. That was the weird thing. The other thing is it seemed to kind of coincide when I started to upload them to Tumblr.
Mm.
And maybe Tumblr is a... So when I started doing that, I had to join Tumblr and I had to get their app. And one thing I noticed about Tumblr, it's really strange, the content in there. So maybe that had something to do with it.
I've never been on Tumblr.
Yeah, I don't get it. But, so, I've now been affected by this, and that was kind of the conversation with Jack Dempsey. It was like, why does Twitter pick and choose all of a sudden people to just ban off Twitter and then, and then bring them back and ban them again? But the real point was that he got a lot of backlash because he didn't really ask any of the hard questions. He ended up having to have him back on, which was weird too. So, I don't know, what was our point?
I don't know.
I feel like I just had an exorcism.
That's a really good question because, I don't end up, well, again, not yet. I haven't ended up, cause like I said, I heard that there, I just wasn't interested in hearing from the guy from Twitter, to be honest.
I agree.
And I love Twitter for sports and comedians. So maybe it's because it's the stuff I'm into. There's not really a lot of controversy, so I don't see a lot of it.
Do you think you're going to start, because I know that you're doing this for the Big Fish Charitable Foundation, and the Big Fish Charitable Foundation was like, we're interested. We're kind of watching. But do you think they're going to start going, hey, this is a good idea. We'd like to see a podcast once a week. Or would that matter?
Well, they.
Higher-ups.
My higher-ups?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right now, I think they're so busy, they're not thinking about it.
See, if you were doing a podcast for the Thomas David Salon, I'd be like, and this is something we're doing for the salon. I'd say I'd want one every week.
Right. So...
because they've kind of they could. Kind of working. It's kind of I don't need the details, but I'm assuming you're kind of working for them.
Yes,
for their benefit.
Yeah. But I think it's a little different in that they didn't develop the podcast and then ask me to do it. I bring up the podcast. I'm not even sure they know really what a podcast was. So I think they're kind of like. But it may be further on down the line. I'll be able to put one out a week. But right now, I just don't think it's in that level of development. But and they won't have to ask me to put up one a week because I'll end up doing that. Now they might say, "How about two a week at some point?" And then I'll go, "Well."
Well, and that's when to come back all full circle is that maybe a reason you might start doing some updates on Facebook Live and maybe start putting some feelers out for people that might want to come on the podcast.
Right. Well, I can tell you this now that we've talked about it and you've brought it up, so it's definitely now programmed more into my mind for stuff like that. And like I said, I'm not anti doing anything like that. I'm not like, it's not like Firefly.
Right.
It's something that does appeal to me. I just literally have to wait for, because I'm not going to do it if I don't want to do it. I mean, I hate to put it that way, but it's literally like I have to wait for a, just like the podcast, I have to wait to be inspired to a certain degree to go, all right, now I have to take on this whole another creative project. And, you know, it's almost like I have to wait for that inspiration as the source of energy to do it. I'm not going to go, I need to do that. I need to do that because of the, I'm not going to, I won't do it that way.
Right. Well, I know for me, you know, as far as trying to create value for somebody that wants to come on the podcast,
right.
You know, I need a consistent podcast. You know, I'm two a week. I'd like to do more, but two a week. But if that's consistently being done, you know, then people are more likely to, you know, listen and check in on the podcast more often. If you're taking, you know, big breaks and stuff, that, you know, it can, you might lose some people. But right. Like if you're doing a Facebook Live, really reaching out, really forward thinking and that kind of thing, people that come on the podcast might say, okay, this is a legit, because you do a good podcast. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a nice podcast. It's a, you know, it's run well. It could be a value to somebody. I know that, you know, you stick to people more associated with the restaurant and the foundation. But eventually people are going to want to come on.
Yeah, anybody. It's, like I said, it's not just
promote
related.
Themselves to, it's, for ears.
I always try to tie in Big Fish, but if the person who owns this, whatever this is across the street, wants to come on, they can come on. I don't even know what it is, but if I figure it out and
have
they come
ever,
on,
they,
they're
ever,
more than welcome to come on.
Have you ever been
on.
To Big Fish? No. Have you ever had fish? Yes. Good. You're on.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to think about it.
Exactly.
And if they're not, you know, maybe I have a gift card on hand.
Ooh.
Oh, I go, hey, there you go. Now you can go to Big Fish and be official. Well, and the truth is.
Give me the truth, Brian.
Well, the fact that they're on the podcast, they're now a part of the Big Fish community.
The family.
Right. So I go, if they don't have a Big Fish bio, them being on the podcast would be the first element or item on their Big Fish bio.
I got a few more minutes. I want to ask you one thing.
Yeah.
Who owns the moon?
Nobody.
Well,
who owns the sun?
Well, nobody's trying to mine it. No one's trying to take its, you know, minerals and stuff.
Right.
If somebody was, right. Then we'd probably have that discussion. But, you know, right. I tried to tell you this the other day, and we kept breaking up in our conversation over the phone, but I was like, because you're a flat earther. We've discussed this before. You think the earth is flat. Do you think there's a moon?
Absolutely. That the same thing you and I, I saw it this morning.
Okay. All right. But
yeah.
What got, you know.
But do I think it's a planet and it's round and that it's land onable or mineable? That's a dog out there. That's a different story.
Well, so I watched this thing on Frontline about this new desire to get to the moon because of all of the minerals and riches that are up there.
Of course.
And now they want to start mining it, and they want to, you know, and when money gets involved, people get involved.
Oh,
and
yeah. And what you'll see soon is some company that you can invest in,
mm-hmm.
you know, early on to, here's, you can buy stock in this company that the is going to be drilling on the, you
moon
know,
digger.
The north face of the moon, right. Moon Digger Limited.
Well, and I was so we've had all this 50 years of since we landed and all this stuff. I know it's been probably driving you insane, but
no,
this I found out that, you know, on the top of the moon, the moon's not at an angle; it's straight up and down. So there's parts of the moon in these craters and these shadows that never get any sun,
mm-hmm.
and it can be like below 400 degrees there,
right?
Sure. Negative,
sure.
It's crazy, right?
Oh, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's so crazy.
Do you think you can't land on the moon? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think that we know if we can or not.
Oh, my God.
What I'm saying is I don't think anybody knows.
Did we land on the moon?
This is where I stand on that.
Stand on it.
Is that we may have, but I am darn near 100% sure that those videos and those pictures that they took are fake. Now, some we may have landed in some other way at some other point in time, and some other people may have landed on the moon, and they're not showing us that information. But I absolutely do not believe that the pictures we saw or the video they took, I think they were all faked and staged.
Okay.
That's exactly. So, you know, craters minus 400, you know, that's...
A lot of who shot John?
Well, what I believe is, and I'm with Eddie Bravo on this.
He's a pain in the ass. Don't become Eddie Bravo.
Well, I might be already be Eddie Bravo, so you might end up not liking me as well. But that
I like Eddie Bravo. Is that, I like you.
I am not apt to trust anybody who's lied to me before. Like, why would I trust information that from someone or something that has lied to me before about many different things, or who gives me doctored up, or
why do you think they would lie about it? Just to like make the United States happy, to make us feel like we're moving forward, to inspire us? I mean, what's the point?
Especially at that point in time. Now, I would also say that I would also believe that, and this makes sense, and I would be behind this, is that it would make sense for us to sit here and think that, can we go to the moon? Let's start making plans to go to the moon. And, you know, whatever, who knows, especially back then, how would you even start? Where would you start? Well, we need some kind of vehicle. So, we need a rocket. And that you would start building and planning and trying to figure it out. So that makes sense. Like, I believe that somebody honestly at some point in time, or many different people, thought that, just like you would think to go across the Atlantic Ocean, same mindset, same ideas, same, you know.
Adventure.
Yeah. But then at some point I go, yeah, I just, you know. But then, so you spend all this money doing that, and then you go, you know what? We don't even know if this thing is, you know, like Earth, in that we could land on it and dig into it and all those things. We don't know how far it's away, or how far away it is, or how, whatever they say, it's 200,000 miles away or something.
I don't even know.
Right. But that, you know, at some point, and I also believe that... somebody would make up a story about us actually landing on the moon and go to great lengths to fake that story. And especially at that point in time, what was it, 1969?
Yeah.
And in order to do some of those things that you just said.
Well, we'll have to have another podcast on that, because we're like an hour and a half into this podcast.
I could go for three more.
Well, I could go for a while, but I definitely got to start getting ready for the lemonade stand.
The lemonade stand.
So I wanted to... mention a couple things. We have the Rehoboth Social app. It's at the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great little app. It's not Facebook and it's not Instagram, but it's a great little app. It's about promoting Rehoboth and the areas around it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to join it, it's free. It's in the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in Google Play as well. If you want to send us any messages, we're working on a new email. Management's working on that. He's got one, but I'm not sure how we're going to work it yet. So, but the app is on the iTunes store. It's free. We don't track you or anything like that. I didn't have enough money when I built it to track you.
Right.
The only issue I have with the app is, like, when you put in a location, it doesn't, you know, bring up the 19,000 ones you've been to recently. You have to kind of type it in, which is a pain in the ass. But
Right. Anyway,
check it out. If you want to message us or give us any feedback, good or bad, you can send it through there. You can also obviously send us feedback through our Rehoboth Social Podcast Facebook page. We'd love to hear any suggestions. That's the way to do it. If you like the live videos we're posting, let us know. If you don't like it, don't let us know. I appreciate that.
No, let them know. No. We want Tom to get all the feedback he can, so he has all that information at his disposal.
I'm gonna be
in order to make the podcast better.
I'm going to be curled in the corner braiding my bangs. That's what's going to end up happening with a hoodie. But, Brian?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, brother.
Hope you had a good time.
Thanks
Nevis
for
Potatoes
me.
Is a podcast. I'm also posting the Nevis Potato podcast on the Rehoboth Social app.
Thank you very much.
If anybody would like to check him out,
And I'm going to try and lock you in to come over to 107 Hickman Street to come to try and do our podcast again.
I'll try to talk closer to the mic.
I know it's painful, but I think you can do it.
I don't mind talking closer to the mic. I just want to know I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll do that. So it's Neva's Potatoes, but it's on Spotify. Are you doing Spotify?
Oh yeah,
Spotify, iTunes,
love
all
Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify's great.
I love it.
So you can find them there, and clearly, if you're interested in maybe being on Brian's podcast, just reach out to him on the Big Fish Charitable Foundation Facebook page.
Yes, please. And I'm terrible with scheduling right now, but I plan to be much better at it in the future.
Well, you waited this long. Now it's going to change. But
right.
That's fine. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Brian, for coming on.
Thank you for
having
me.
Stay cool today, brother. It's supposed to be hotter. You know it can get up to 236 degrees on the moon?
Oh, I bet it can.
It's steamy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with those thermometers they put up there, I'm sure they're getting accurate readings.
He sticks his finger out of the shuttle window. Ooh, it's hot. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later, pal.
Good luck with the lemonade stand.
All right.